Hurry into Old Navy tomorrow and Sunday to get jeans for the whole family on sale. Just $15 for adults, $12 for kids. Plus, starting tomorrow, redeem your Super Cash to save even more at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Super Cash valid 6/3 to 6/11. Jeans valid 6/3 to 6/4. Select styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. A flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond Fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself. Start every day singing like the birds. Singing takes you beyond, beyond, beyond. We need a repeated discipline, a genuine training to let go our old habits of mind and to find and sustain a new way of seeing. Go beyond the rights and the wrongs. Prayer clears the head and brings back peace to the soul. Go beyond to feel the oneness of the unity. Sing. Singing takes you beyond, 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 beyond. We are all the same, all the same. Looking to find our way back to the source, to the one. To the only one. Go beyond revenge. The greatest moment in our lives is when we allow us to teach each other. Go beyond to feel the oneness of the unity. Singing. Singing takes you beyond. Journey. Take the journey inside of you to become quiet, to hear the beyond, to become patient, to receive the beyond, to become open, to invite the beyond, and be grateful. Be grateful to allow the beyond. Be in the present moment to live. Start every day singing like the birds. Singing takes you beyond, beyond, beyond. What does love have to do with it? Love grows when you trust. When you trust, love heals and renews. Love inspires and empowers us to do great things and makes us a better person to love. Love makes us feel safe and brings us closer to God. When you go beyond, it's where you find true love. Keep singing. Singing takes you beyond.
Today, my guest is Reverend Deborah Muldaugh, whose life path has led her from the Broadway stage to the pulpit to the United Nations and all over the world. She is committed to assisting in the transformation of human consciousness that will lead to a culture of peace. She contributes to this global effort through her ministry, her international peace work, her interfaith work, speaking, writing, and editing, and her singing. all part of the movement of awakening humanity. Today we are talking about something powerful emerging right now on this planet, a global community deeply rooted in a shared spirituality that transcends differences, nationality, tradition, culture, and even religion. Members of this community recognize one another immediately, even though it has no name and no home except in the human heart. The Garden of Light, which you can access at gardenoflight.org, offers a virtual home for this community so that it can become visible for the powerful force that is truly in uplifting humanity, uplifting the human spirit, and approaching the global challenges we face as one global family. So today I want to welcome Reverend Deborah Maldo to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Audrey. It's such a joy to be with you today. And I so enjoyed the beautiful meditation that begins this program. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. But we wanted to focus today on the emerging global spirituality that is the key to seeing beyond the apparent chaos that we are experiencing. And I would like for us just to move right into that. We've had that beautiful meditation to center us in our hearts. And let's move from that into this conversation. I think it's so important because we're being bombarded with so much, as you call it, the apparent chaos. Let's talk about the other side of that. What's emerging?
Yes, it's so important in challenging times like the ones we live in to be able to see beyond, as you were saying in the meditation, you know, to breathe and take a moment and look at the larger picture of what is unfolding in our human journey that we all share. So I really see us evolving as a species. We've come a long way in a relatively short time in the history of our beautiful planet and life on Earth, and we've emerged as a species that is able to be self-aware, and therefore we carry a very special role in this beautiful web of living creation that we are experiencing together. And I think that capacity of self-awareness really is what has the power to bring forth the divine, the consciousness of the divine in each one of us. And this is something that I'd say in this moment we've a bit lost track of that part of ourselves in our material culture that we live in, and I'm not knocking the material culture because it has brought us amazing advances, you know, where we're able to speak with one another across the planet and really get to know people of different cultures and different traditions and realize our oneness as a human family. And I don't think that might have been possible without all of this technology, being able to get on an airplane or to get on the internet and connect with one another. So now that we're here at this critical moment in time, this technology has also separated us from our Mother Earth. And I think we've gotten so into our separateness that we're at a moment when we need to begin to turn that around and look at our intrinsic unity. So what I see happening is, on the one hand, I see this this chaos around us and the impending dangers of climate change particularly, and, you know, the nuclear threat that still hangs over all of us. And beyond that, all of the ways that we have polluted our atmosphere, our soil, our water, the very air that we breathe, we are in crisis. We are in crisis for actually the survival of the human race. But at the same time, something else is happening that is so amazing, that is so exciting, that it gives me tremendous hope. And this is the emerging spirituality that I see across the planet. I see people be, as we get to know one another and recognize the beauty of each human being, we are starting to wake up to a whole way of being with one another and being on this planet that I think is new. I think it's new because it's transcending religions. It's transcending nationalities. It's transcending languages. And it's coming through in a lot of different ways. So one way that it's coming through is through the interfaith movement. This is how I met you, Audrey. We met through our work with the United Religions Initiative that brings people of all faiths together around the world. And the interfaith movement has been an expression of this opening to this wonderful curiosity about one another's ways of seeing the world. And as we've come to respect one another's faiths, one another's traditions, we've also started finally to respect indigenous wisdom and the knowledge of how to live in harmony with the earth. So all of this has laid the groundwork for what I see as the emerging global spirituality. And there are many other ways that it's coming, that this awakening is coming through us. It's coming through a recognition that what we eat and the medicine that we take, what we put into our bodies, affects our health. You know, we're becoming conscious of the power of fruits and vegetables to heal us and nourish us. We're becoming conscious that eating animals may not be the most beneficial way to live on the planet. And I understand people who are still eating meat, that and I think that's been our history, you know. But I'm not opposed to that in principle, but I feel personally that I can't do it anymore, that I have too much respect for our fellow beings to put them in my mouth, and that the plants and vegetables that I put in my mouth, that is for me a more joyful way to live. So that's another way that I see a new kind of spirituality emerging, like a consciousness yeah. of the life forms that share our planet with us, that are part of this web of creation. So these many ways, through healing, through nourishing ourselves, through practices like yoga and meditation, all of these are emerging. They're coming through us. Not because we're trying to be more spiritual necessarily, but because we're waking up.
I experience that in so much of the work that we do, as you say, particularly with the United Religions Initiative, And those of you who are interested in learning more about that work, you can go to uri.org and see all the different work. I mean, there's so much work happening in over 90, I think we're over 100 countries now. And,
yes.
And which is amazing. So you've been around URI for even longer than I started in 2005. But I think one of the things that we can say is an indicator of what you see is the number of CCs, or cooperation circles, our grassroots organizations around the world that have just flowered. The numbers just continuing to go up. So there is a call in the heart of humanity to find a way to be together, to find a way to be together for our survival, but I think also for our expanded potential as human beings, not just on the earth, but with the earth. So I really resonate so strongly with everything that you said. You know, we had a conversation the other night at our spiritual center here in Dothan, Alabama. And one of the what came up in the conversation was, you know, identity. And one of the things that I think is happening globally is that our identity is transforming. Our identity is shifting and changing. And so the old boxes and parameters that we established around ourselves to define ourselves aren't working anymore. So I think that part of what we may be experiencing as chaos is that moment of transition from one state of being to another, very much like when the baby is ready to birth itself. And so it sends the signals to the mother's body, and we go through this, these various stages of labor until we get to that moment where birth is just about to happen, which is very painful and can be very, you know, our body experiences it almost as trauma. But on the other side of that is this beautiful creation. As we talk about identity and letting go of what we, of who we think we are, so that we can embrace what's emerging in each of us, it's a beautiful thing. And it can be a little scary sometimes also for people who are making major shifts all at once. But trusting the process and moving through it ends us or lands us in a very powerful state where we can begin to see each other with new eyes, with greater clarity about how what I do impacts you, and how I can also have, how I also have the power to hold that of love and compassion as we all move through this at our own pace in our own time. And I think that was, you know, for me, that conversation was so important because I'm always bombarded with the question, why do you work for peace? You know, why do you put so much energy and trying to create peace? There's never been and never will be on the planet. Well, I don't really believe that. I believe that we're walking more and more into peaceful coexistence in spite of an old paradigm that's trying to hold on to the old. There's a tremendous wave of energy, as you mentioned, that's pushing us forward to a place where I think eventually we are going to come to an awareness of what peace truly means and how we can live on a planet and be concerned about each other's rights, about the rights of Mother Earth, recognizing that we're all part of one web and what we do to any part of it affects every part of it. So I thank you, Deborah, for talking about this, what's emerging right now.
So I really want to respond to what you said about peace and particularly about our sense of identity, of who we are as humanity. So what I see is happening is, as you said, this tremendous shift, and we're right in mid-evolutionary leap right now, and that's why it feels so uncomfortable and even scary at moments. But I think that we have previously always defined our identity in opposition to others. So I am of this tribe, and you are of that tribe. And that's part of who I am is to identify as my tribe and my people. And I think that we are waking up to the fact that we are one people. And one of the ways that this transition is happening, this move toward what the United Nations calls a culture of peace, that's radically different from the way we've lived on this planet now for millennia, is that war is no longer seen as a noble endeavor. It is seen as a last resort. And I think that's a huge shift in consciousness that has already happened. And we have not let go of war yet. We still have many wars in our troubled world right now, but we don't have that feeling of let's march to victory. It's more about if we need to go to war in order to protect people, then maybe we still have to do that. But I see that as a stage along the way to the realization that peace is a whole new way of living for humanity, where instead of looking at one another as competitors for resources, we look at how we can cooperate together to make the world better for everyone. So I think that's tremendously important. And as you know, I have represented the World Peace Prayer Society at the United Nations for more than 20 years. And the prayer of the World Peace Prayer Society is very simple. May peace prevail on earth. And if we can just keep that thought form in our hearts, then we are moving in the right direction for a whole new chapter for the human race.
Beautiful. Let's take a moment here to identify. You're listening to Peace Talk on Now Time Radio with your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and my very special guest, Reverend Deborah Maldo.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. And the place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow.
You're listening to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio with your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and my very special guest today, Reverend Deborah Maldow. And we've been talking about this new emerging global spirituality, and perhaps I shouldn't say new. It's something that perhaps is part of our history. It's what we've been emerging towards, and there have been many opportunities, I think, for us to go higher and higher. And sometimes we've done so. I think sometimes perhaps collectively we slip back. However, the bar keeps moving forward. And that's where I think we are today. And that's what I hold on. Deborah, I wanted to ask you just before we went took that break, how do you keep motivated when we are hearing so many negative things happening around the world? What keeps you seeing that light in the center of it all?
That's really a wonderful question. I think there are two basic things that keep me motivated. The first one is my own spiritual practice. I have to remind myself sometimes to go within, to get still, and to connect to God, to spirit, and really nourish myself in that way. Sometimes I have to pull myself away from my computer, you know, and go out in nature and really feel the vibration of the earth and the trees and breathe the air and really reconnect with life. And then the other is other people. I'm so fortunate in my work with the World Peace Prayer Society, with the United Religions Initiative, and with a group called the Evolutionary Leaders, a project of the Source of Synergy Foundation that I co-direct with an amazing group of visionaries who are authors and teachers and scientists, and you can see them at evolutionaryleaders.net, all of the members of that community. But I find that in my life I have so many people around me who are deep and brilliant and are really seeing solutions outside the box. And it's so important to feel that sense of community, that none of us is in this struggle alone. Even people like me who live by ourselves, there's a community around us. And that was one of the reasons, too, that I began the Garden of Light at gardenoflight.org, is as just a gathering place for this emerging spirituality to feel that sense of community, that there are many of us right now, people like me, people like you, Audrey, who are doing such pioneering work in many domains, moving the consciousness of humanity forward every day. And everybody can be part of that. That is not a restricted community in any way, shape, or form. It's simply people who feel a sense of purpose around what is the potential for humanity right now.
Absolutely. Can you tell us more about the World Peace and Prayer Society?
The World Peace Prayer Society was founded to promote this prayer, may peace prevail on earth, this very simple prayer. And it came out of Japan after the Second World War. There was a beautiful philosopher, poet named Masahiso Goi, and after the atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, he had this powerful sense that the Japanese people had a particular mission for world peace, that it was their responsibility to see that this never happened to anyone else ever again. I just have so much admiration for that you know, I'm not sure that's how I would have felt about it at the time. It's such a devastating experience to have happened. And he was searching for a prayer that everybody could say, no matter what their religion, even atheists can join in saying, may peace prevail on earth. And the Japanese people, you know, their language is written vertically, and they started putting up signs on posts along the road that said, may peace prevail on earth. And when the World Peace Prayer Society was founded in America, around the time of the International UN International Year of Peace, which was 1986, and the World Peace Prayer Society started making peace poles in America, and of course, English is usually written horizontally. The Japanese feel like they're communicating with God. All the rest of us with our horizontal languages are just talking to one another. So anyway, the peace poles started being made in English and every other language. And there are now peace poles all over the world. There are probably at least 250,000 of them, and they're in every country, in every language. And there are a few places that make peace poles, like the World Peace Sanctuary in Amenia, New York, and there's a place in Europe and a place in Japan and several other places that make peace poles. But also, people make their own peace poles. You know, they can be made out of any material. They're usually a little taller than a person, and they have their roots in the earth, and they point toward the sky. And they link heaven and earth with this prayer, may peace prevail on earth. And there's a way to think about them as acupuncture needles healing the earth. And if you picture these peace poles all over the globe and you pray, may peace prevail on earth, and you are providing the current to activate these acupuncture needles all over the world. So that's another way of being in community across the globe and knowing that we're never alone, especially when we are in prayer with one another, when we are in meditation and we link with our brothers and sisters all over the world, and we know at heart that we are one.
You know, Deborah, when we did our last walk across the country on the 13 Moon Walk, our team, led by our national coordinator, Mary Woods and David Sasebo, Karen, myself, Baba Ogigi, and others, we decided we wanted to leave a marker in the communities that we walked through. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we've planted over 50 peace poles around the country.
Wow.
In rural areas, on reservations, in the languages, on the reservations, they're actually in the native language. And we've also had one of them in Baltimore, is classified by the city as a monument. Now, our peace poles, and you hit on so many things, I have to share this. Our peace poles have a unique characteristic that, you know, everybody participates in. We put one word on the peace poles, and that's peace. But we let every community decide what other three words they want on the other side of the pole. We just use a cedar 4x4. And on the top, we drill holes, and we put a clear quartz crystal, and then we put a copper cap on it. And our vision for it is very much like you were saying, is that we wanted to create a web where if someone prays at a pole, let's say on the Oneida Reservation, then the pole in New Orleans down in 19th gets activated. You know, the pole in Baltimore City where Freddie Gray was murdered, that pole gets activated. Or, you know, at a church center somewhere, you know. So we are that vision that you say anybody can do this. And I say that because I would love to see neighborhoods just have these poles, you know, and it can become, it can be It can be whatever every community wants it to be. And there's some beautiful people out there. And so you can order them, or you can make them in your own community. You can put them in your community gardens. We've got a lot of them in community gardens. So whatever to your heart, be a part of May Peace Prevail on Earth. Because every time a pole is planted, I believe that it charges up all the folks.
Thank you so much, Audrey, for doing this beautiful peace work. We have seen the power of the peace pole to heal communities as well. There's a community that has many immigrant populations in that's called Frogtown. It's in St. Paul, Minnesota. And they even have a peace pole in front of the police station there. And the police decided that they would put the message in the languages of the different immigrant communities so that as people come to the United States, when they see the police, you know, sometimes in their country, they were very afraid of the police. But when they see a peace pole in front of the police station and it has a prayer for peace in their own language, then they feel very welcome, and it changes the whole feel of the neighborhood. So this can be a wonderful thing for a community to do. And a special time to plant a peace pole or to gather at a peace pole is the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 21st each year, when people around the world take a minute of silence at 12 noon. And many people do that at their peace pole. Many places plant peace poles. Schools plant peace poles often on the International Day of Peace or any time during the year. So it's a very beautiful and powerful project. And it's amazing when you see a peace pole when you're traveling somewhere. You know, you might be at the Great Pyramids or at Machu Picchu, and you come upon a peace pole, and you know you have one in the park in your town or at your school. It's a wonderful feeling of global community.
Always amazing on both our walks around the country and around the world, just to look up one day and there's a peace pole, you know, and it's like, wow, you feel connected, you know, you feel a part of this bigger whole that is, I mean, the whole WHOL, that is everywhere, you know, it's like, what is that saying, a circle, I can't remember right now, but anyway, you just feel a part of something that this giant web that's encircling the globe, and everywhere you see it, it's like, you know, I just want to reach out and touch it, you know, because it reminds me that this emerging global spirituality is happening. And I just wanted to say a word about that too. You know, when we talk about a global emerging spirituality, we're not talking about people giving up their religion or how they relate to the divine. What we're talking about is being able to be with that and be open to the fact that God expresses him, herself, in many different ways and through many different faiths. And at the core of our faith is this cry for peace, for love, for compassion. Mm-hmm. And all of our great prophets and leaders, spiritual leaders around the world have reminded us of that.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, as you know, I'm an ordained interfaith minister, and so I have enormous respect for all of the faith traditions of the world. And it's part of our glorious diversity that I don't want us ever to lose. You know, one of the things that sometimes discourages me is when I travel and maybe I'm at an airport or a hotel and I could be anywhere in the world. That's not what I want to see. You know, I want to see what's unique about the place that I'm traveling to, and I want to see what's unique in every human being. And it is that coming together of the uniqueness of each person and harnessing that uniqueness for the common good, that is the new way forward. instead of trying to see who's the best and then that's the person who gets all the gain. You know, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. Nature doesn't work that way. And as humans, we need to find this new way of being together where we honor one another and we cherish the richness of each person's experience.
Absolutely.
And you had asked me about how I stay inspired when things look dark. And I think an action like bringing the community together around planting a peace pole, that's an example of something that you can do. You know, so when you feel like powerless in the face of some of the things that are happening on a larger scale, then just do something that makes your family, your community, your town, your country a better place. Everybody's contribution makes a difference. And everyone doing it in a spirit of love and service. You know, I think service is another concept that is really coming through. When we look at the people that we admire in the world, it's often that spirit of service that is key. And the more we come into that spirit of service, instead of thinking, oh, how can I make sure I have enough for me? You know, how can I serve others? How can I help heal our world? That's part of this emerging global spirituality too. That's such a beautiful thing.
Yes, you know, when we're in service, we learned on, I guess you could say, all of our walks, that when we were having difficult times financially or trying to find a place to stay at night or whatever, because as you know, we weren't funded, so it was totally a faith walk. But when we hit those stumbling blocks, we would look at each other and say, have we been in service? What are we not doing for somebody else or for a community that is needed, and we're missing it because we are just focused on walking? We need to stop and see how we can do something of service. And the moment we do that, whether it was someone on the team needing us to circle up and listen to them, or whether it was we were walking through a community, an area of a community that needed help, or a ranch that needed, you know, people to work on it but didn't have the money to pay for it, whatever it might be, and we went into that space of being of service, forgetting ourselves, everything we needed would all of a sudden appear, and as we finished, we'd be on our way to the next place. So I think that there is a very powerful relationship to what's emerging in each of us and our capacity to serve. And one of the messages I think that comes to me to say, to just really summarize that is, serve. It's the most glorious thing that you can do, is to serve. Even there are many, many soup kitchens and mission places in all of our communities. You know, pick one day a month, go out and serve, you know. And so, and there are many ways that can happen. But you'll be surprised what that does. You think you're going there to serve them, but what happens is that you're actually being served. And it really is very empowering and very inspiring. And there's so many ways that we can serve. So thank you for bringing that forward into our conversation. We're going to take a moment. You're listening to Now Time Radio. This is Peace Talks with your host, Audrey Scott Williams.
And watch us where we go.
Prayer, guide us with your grace. You're listening to Now Time Radio. This is Audrey Scott Williams, host of Peace Talks, and my very special guest today is and has been and will continue to be on occasions, I hope, Reverend Deborah Muldow. Deborah, is there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to make sure we speak about on air? I want to make sure that you give your website where people can find out information about the work that you're doing and all of that. So let's make sure we do all of that before we of our program. We're about 7 minutes in. So what have we not talked about that you'd like to bring into the conversation?
Well, dear Audrey, I think we've touched on so many things today. I just want anybody who's listening to understand how much of a difference they make personally in our world today. This is such a moment of transition for the human race. We are looking in the face of possible extinction. I mean, when has that ever happened before? Whenever a civilization in history has collapsed, they've moved on to another part of the world. Well, we can't move on. We have one precious planet, and we're endangering our very existence with the way that we live right now. And it's pretty scary. And I think that what is accompanying that is an enormous crisis of meaning. So where perhaps our grandparents, I know my grandparents were immigrants when they came to this country. They were looking for a better life for their children. And what a better life looked like was a safe place to live and good work where they could support themselves and raise families. And that was about it. They weren't trying to save the world, you know? And yeah. And now it doesn't feel like enough just to have a life where you're safe and you have a comfortable income. And it's not enough. People are looking for meaning and purpose. And this crisis that we're in right now, this crisis point, this choice point, if you will, is giving us enormous opportunity for purpose. So if you want to see the world be different from the way it is right now, if you want to see humanity not only survive into the next millennium, but thrive in a culture of peace where we get to explore what more could come through human creativity and human genius, even if we're not constantly trying to protect ourselves and make sure we have enough to eat like our ancestors used to have to do. Can we take the kind of abundance that our material culture has given us and make that a transition into a real feeling of human family where we share our resources and we build more beautiful ways to live in harmony with the earth and with one another? And if you're listening and you want to be a part of that, there are infinite ways to do that. So I invite you to be part of the conversation. Come to the Garden of Light and see what that's about if you're interested in exploring this emerging global spirituality. Then come to www.gardenoflight.org and join us and see what that's about. If you want to work in interfaith in your community, go to uri.org and join or start a cooperation circle. Maybe you don't want to do anything online. Maybe that's not where you are. Maybe you want to plant a garden or you want to be of service in your community or you want to just rethink what you're already doing and see how much you are already acting from love and service. And when there's a crisis in the world, just know that you can always add your prayer instead of your fear and your anguish. You can always transform what's in your heart and recognize that, oh, maybe you have to feel your feelings first. And then you can always say, may peace prevail on earth. Thank and you will be part of this new culture of peace.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry to jump in. We're coming to the end of our show, and I just have a couple of things I need to say. But indeed, you are the peace. May peace prevail on earth. And just engage that in your heart, and it will guide you. I want to first of all recognize that the music we heard today, the first song was Beyond by Tina Turner. The second song was Heal the World by Michael Jackson. And the last song that we just heard was The Prayer by Donnie McClurkin and Yolanda Adams. I also wanted to say on Saturday, June the 10th, we are asking communities to join with some of our cooperation circles throughout URI and at 12 o'clock to be in prayer together. You can organize your community, your church, your spiritual center, or just your neighborhood, what have you. But to hold an intentional moment of May Peace Prevail on Earth to add that vibration into our cities throughout America, where there are potentially demonstrations and marches that could be detrimental to our moving forward in the way that we've discussed here. So we are in an emerging global spirituality right now, and the chief is seeing beyond the chaos, is going deeper and deeper within. I want to thank you for being a part of Peace Talks on Now Find Radio today. My very special guest, Reverend Deborah Mordell. And we will see you again next Friday on Peace Talks. So have a great week, and continue to send love into yourself and out to the world. May peace prevail on earth. Deborah, let's do that together.
Let's everyone do it together. May peace prevail on earth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hurry into Old Navy tomorrow and Sunday to get jeans for the whole family on sale. Just $15 for adults, $12 for kids. Plus, starting tomorrow, redeem your Super Cash to save even more at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Super Cash valid 6/3 to 6/11. Jeans valid 6/3 to 6/4. Select styles only. Hurry into Old Navy tomorrow and Sunday to get jeans for the whole family on sale. Just $15 for adults, $12 for kids. Plus, starting tomorrow, redeem your Super Cash to save even more at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Super Cash valid 6/3 to 6/11. Jeans valid 6/3 to 6/4. Select styles only.